You're listening to
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Ice cream man, can I have this? I want this over here, and a toast on by my father, and give me this ice over here, and vanilla cone. Thank you, ice cream man. Thank you, ice cream man.
Wish Media Awareness a happy birthday. The 10th anniversary of Media Democracy Days Vancouver will run from November 11th to 13th. Media Democracy Days Vancouver will bring you free panel discussions, production workshops, and film screenings that will have you questioning the Canadian media landscape. All events are free to the public, but seating is limited and registration is encouraged. Complete programming details are available online at www.mediademocracydays.org. Yay!
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Well, 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 welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We're very, very glad to have you. Well, you may have heard me during Val's show earlier about the fact that it is PAP Awareness Week in Canada. So if you're listening, even if you're in another part of the world, I really encourage you, if you've not had a PAP test in the last couple of years, I really encourage you to go and celebrate. And if any women you know, please encourage them to go and get tested because it's really important for their health. And I'm very excited because one of the big pushes towards this in BC is the Lace Campaign. So I'm very excited to have Michelle and Bella from Lace Campaign here. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks.
So tell me a little bit about the Lace Campaign, because it's a pretty sexy campaign and I love it.
I think it's sexy. The Lace Campaign is in its second year and it was launched by the BC Cancer Agency to promote PAP Awareness Week. LACE stands for Live Aware, Create Empowerment, and we're hoping that women will feel empowered by the campaign to take control of their health and go in and get a PAP and educate themselves about cervical cancer and how they can prevent it.
And that was one of the interesting things I thought, that it's pretty high, actually. The street nurse the other night was telling me that with cervical cancer, most cases actually can be cured if it's caught early enough.
Yeah, that's right. The cure rate is 80% for cervical cancers if they're detected early, and most cases when they're caught at the precancerous stage can be prevented.
That's incredible. I remember last year when I'd first heard about the Lace Campaign, which we had Lizzie on at the time, and White Orchid, which is another organization that was doing work for PAP awareness for the South Asian community. But it shocked me because I'd mentioned to a friend of mine that we were going to try and bring more PAP awareness to the downtown east side. And I found out that she was under 30 years old, had actually had cervical cancer and ended up having to get her cervix removed.
Yeah, cervical cancer is actually the second most common cancer for women under 45. And so it's important for women of all ages to inform themselves and get a PAP test regularly.
No, it's important. So how did you two get involved in the campaign?
Well, both of us work for Hello Cool World, and we basically are an agency that... We're an agency that helped create the LACE campaign with the BC Cancer Agency. And, so we both worked there for over the last year, and PAP Awareness Week rolled around, and Michelle works on doing outreach, coordinating volunteers across the province, getting clinics to sign up, and I helped design some of those elements, push them out to all those clinics. We've had some crazy packing parties at our Hello Cool World headquarters in Gastown, where we were just stuffing all the goodie bags that any woman who goes and gets a PAP at one of these participating clinics will receive, and they're packed with love by me and Michelle and all our awesome volunteers.
And actually, I was a LACE campaign volunteer last year. I met Lizzie while I was working at Options for Sexual Health, and she got me involved as a volunteer. So I was distributing information at UBC while I was finishing my master's, and also in Hastings Sunrise, where I live.
And you'd mentioned as well that you're going to be on campus tomorrow, isn't it, at UBC?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be at the UBC Sexual Health Fair in the Marine Drive residence from 6:30 to 9:30. So if you drop by, you can get some information about PAP tests and all of our other sexy campaigns.
There'll also be banana splits, I hear, and chocolate milk shooters. So if you're not lactose intolerant, you should definitely come out.
We've also been informed there will be a photo booth.
Photo booths are fun.
They are fun. We're bringing our costumes.
Yeah, everyone's going to be updating their Facebook profile pics.
What are the costumes? You have my curiosity piqued.
Oh, well, we like to dress in lace when we can to really bring the theme home.
Oh, yeah, we should have mentioned this earlier, that we chose LACE. It stands for Live Aware Korean Empowerment. But we remind women to go get their PAPS by tying, you know, a pretty piece of lace around the finger. And it just serves as that gentle feminine reminder to go do something nice for yourself and take care of your cervical health.
Yeah, we thought we'd set ourselves apart from some other cancer awareness campaigns by not picking a particular color, but instead lace of all colors as a campaign symbol.
And it's been a pretty successful campaign, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been great. We have 140 participating clinics around BC this year. More than 20 of them are in Vancouver alone, but we have clinics everywhere from Fort St. James to Vanderhoof to Buick. Belle and I have learned a lot about BC geography this year.
Yeah, a grade 5 socials class does not cut it compared to what me and Michelle picked up on in the last few weeks.
But we have we have clinic partners all around the province, and we have volunteers that have been amazing in putting on their own events and supporting clinics and just spreading the word about cervical cancer screening to their own network. So it's been really amazing. Last year we had 120 clinics, and that was an increase over, I think, 96 the year before. So it's just great to see it growing.
And last year we actually I think our Facebook likes were way under 100. This year we've surpassed 400 on Facebook and on Twitter. So you can find us on both those social media sites, LACE Campaign.
That's right. Join us. Join our movement.
Well, I think anything that promotes women's health and just sexual health in general is really, really important.
Yeah, we just want to make sure that women know that it doesn't have to be an uncomfortable experience. You should find a provider who makes you feel comfortable and who's able to talk to you about your health. And, you know, nobody really likes getting on a table and getting intimate with a speculum, but it doesn't have to be awful. And as women who've had cervical cancer shared with us, it's a lot better than, you know, not detecting it.
Yeah, than the alternative. I love the fact that you were describing some of the events in the green room before the show, and I thought that was really cool, like having wine, having like just yummy snacks and things.
Yeah, tell Bella. I actually had my first PAP. I'm sad to say that I am a bandwagoner, probably because of close affiliation with the campaign. But yesterday I went to Pomegranate Community Midwives on Hastings, got my first PAP there, and it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. I mean, it's no matter what anyone tells you, of course it's not going to be a walk in the park with like birds fluttering out of the forest and like nothing super serene like that. I mean, you're getting pretty intimate with a speculum, but I mean, as far as all that goes, it was pretty nice. The midwife who was taking care of me was she even took a photo of it with my phone. It was very casual.
She took a photo of your cervix?
Because she was like, seriously, like, I'm a beginner. She walked me through every single step, like, told me she was going to do something before she did anything. So it was not weird at all, because I knew what was going to happen every step of the way. And usually they show you what your cervix looks like. And because, you know, working on all the campaign materials, we always say that your cervix looks like a donut. It's kind of the unofficial snack food of the LACE campaign. So I, of course, was dying to see what it looked like. So I was like, well, you don't have a mirror here. I'm not going to make you go walk out and go find a mirror. Like, my cell phone's like right over there underneath my underwear. If you don't mind grabbing it, I want to take a little sneak peek. And so now I can actually say that, yes, your cervix does look like a donut.
And Bella actually made a romantic evening of her pap test, didn't you, Bella?
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to make sure all the women I knew got out to a pap, so I took my partner, Rebecca, with me. Huh? And not exactly the most romantic date night ever, but I mean, you know, at least she's done her, you know, due diligence in taking care of her cervical health.
which I think is really good. And I thought it was interesting before the show you were mentioning about community that they had done a study last year. And I don't know if you want to speak to that just in regards to just misconceptions sometimes that lesbian women don't need to get pap tests.
That's right. I don't know if it was last year, but Lisa Despens of BC Cancer Agency sent it to me earlier. And Community in the West End, which is an amazing organization, did publish a little info sheet about the importance of getting pap tests for queer women who are often underscreened for, you know, lots of reasons, but one of them being that providers might not recommend pap tests because cervical cancer is caused by HPV, which is more common from during like heterosexual encounters, but it can be spread between partners of all genders. So it's important for anyone who's sexually active to get a pap test.
I have a weird question, Michelle, I'm going to direct to you just in regards to HPV because you did work for Options for Sexual Health. Is it true, fact or fiction, that you can get transfer HPV orally through the throat?
That is true.
How?
Yeah, HPV can be transmitted, I think, anywhere that you have a mucous membrane. So HPV is now, if you read some of the recent studies, being linked to throat cancer and cancers of the mouth and neck, which is actually a really great reason why not just women, but everyone should get an HPV vaccine if they are eligible. And they should talk to their doctor about it because HPV is being linked to more cancers than just cervical cancer. And cervical cancer is one of the most easy to prevent and treat cancers, but cancers of the mouth and neck can be more difficult to detect early.
Mm-hmm.
So they're finding HPV of the throat is linked to those. And so it's really important for everyone just to be aware. And, you know, if you have kids that are in grade 6, you should get them vaccinated for HPV.
I'm hoping the male vaccine gets for HPV actually gets finally funded at some point.
Yeah, it is approved for boys and girls, but currently in BC, it's only provided free for girls in grade 6 or girls born after 1994 who are still in school as a way to catch up. It's just part of the grade 6 immunization program along with Hep B, but it is recommended. You can talk to a doctor. Options for Sexual Health provides the HPV vaccine, and they are great people to talk to about it.
I think that's really cool. So what have you learned about pap tests since this? Like, has it changed your perspective? Well, obviously, Bella, yes.
It's true. Now I'm a believer. Going in, I didn't really know too much. I didn't have any firsthand experience with pap tests. So now I know that it's really not that bad. And I didn't think it would be that bad. But the pomegranate community midwives really, like, proved that it wasn't that bad. In fact, yeah, I could get one tomorrow if I had to.
And I think, I mean, I have always been a big proponent of sexual health care and prevention, but working with the LACE campaigns really educated me for the importance of pap tests as more than just a routine health procedure, but as something that really makes a big difference in your health. And I have learned that it's so important for women to have these conversations with one another and to foster an environment where, you know, you can talk about your sexual health and your reproductive health, and you should find people who you can have those conversations with, because I think too often we're silent about our reproductive and sexual health care needs. And that's, you know, one of the reasons people don't go for treatment is they don't know anything's wrong, or they're embarrassed to talk about it with their healthcare provider. And, you know, it's really important for us to be educated and to be empowered to have these conversations and, you know, to find a provider who is someone you can talk to about your health. And we're hoping that, you know, the people who are going out and getting pap tests can do that. And we have such amazing providers on board who are so passionate about, you know, health and prevention and education. And I think it's a really great thing.
I agree with you. I think it's very, very good thing and important. So what's next for LACE after this week?
Well, we'll all be napping because it has been quite a week of just, you know, and quite a month. I would say we've been working pretty hard at this for a while.
It's true. But I think it's really going to pay off. So I guess after this, we just wait for the next PAP Awareness Week to come around. But, I mean, the conversations definitely don't need to stop after this week. I mean, mm-hmm. awareness kind of continues through the year, you know. Conversations don't exactly have an expiry date on them. So keep talking about it, keep pushing awareness around, and hopefully we, you know, keep moving up those numbers on our Facebook page and our Twitter page, and like people participating in clinics, even our clinics going up, and who knows, maybe mm-hmm. we can hit the nation.
Yeah, we're hoping that, I mean, you know, PAP Awareness Week is only this one week. It started on Sunday and it'll wrap up this Saturday. But I think that, like, if we can catalyze people to start thinking about their cervical health and their sexual health and, you know, their health needs, those are conversations that can be happening all year long. And, you know, we have high hopes, but ultimately we won't motivate every single person to go get a PAP test who probably needs one. So if you haven't been able to persuade that special someone in your life that they should go to a clinic this week, just keep working on them. Mm-hmm. We have lots of materials. We have lots of education. We'll help you persuade them.
And that's something really great as well, that you've got your materials in different languages this year.
Yeah, that was one of the big goals this year. And we have produced PAP reminder cards. So we have these postcards that we encourage women to take and give out to one another that you can just give to someone to remind them to get a PAP test, that have a little bit of information. And this year we've translated them into Punjabi and Chinese with phone lines that women can call and speak to someone who also speaks Punjabi or Chinese. We have a lot of participating clinics. You can find a list on our blog that have providers who speak Punjabi, Hindi, Urdu, Cantonese, Mandarin. We're just trying to make sure that, you know, women whose first language might not be English can go and be able to talk to someone about their healthcare needs, because BC is such a diverse province, and we want to make sure we're addressing that with this campaign.
And I think that's really important. I applaud you for opening it up as well for a South Asian community too.
Yeah, last year we had a great student organization, the White Orchid Society, who was mm-hmm. producing materials and running a phone line targeted to South Asian women. And, you know, that was so amazing last year. So this year we wanted to keep it going. So we do have these materials available, and we've tried to distribute them widely, but you can find them on our website for download. We have PDF copies on our materials page, and we're pretty proud of them. I personally can't read what they say, but I think they're great. They look great.
Well, I think that's awesome. One of the other things I wanted to touch on that we talked about in the green room was just the misconception. Like last year when I had Lizzie on the show from Lace Campaign, we talked about that it should be every year, which I've always just told people, just go on your birthday, because, you know, get a full physical, and that should be the gift for yourself, where you check in your health, make sure everything's running, it's working well, and all that. And good time for New Year's resolutions, but that's a whole other show. But I found out last night from one of the street nurses in the downtown east side that wasn't necessarily the case, depending on your health.
That's right, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I had completely forgotten. But the screening interval was changed recently, so the new guidelines state, take your pens out and write this down, you should get your first PAP test at 21 or 3 years after you become sexually active. And sexual activity doesn't just mean intercourse, it means all kinds of things, touching, oral sex. I could go on.
You can. It's after 10 o'clock on CITR 101.9 FM.
Maybe I'll save that for after the boring technical part. No, so it's once a year for your first 3 years. And if those are all clear, then it's once every 2 years. But, of course, you should go in every year and just get a well woman exam. Just check everything out. It's never bad to check in. And a PAP test, I find, is a really great time to touch base with your healthcare provider just about any questions you might have. So by all means, keep an annual visit so you can check in. But PAP tests every 2 years after your first 3 years, if everything's normal, until you're 69, which is an easy number to remember. And if it's been
very
all
much so.
And if it's been all clear up until then, you can stop going. You can celebrate your 69th birthday with no more PAPs.
Which is a good thing, too. Did you know I actually didn't know that you weren't, that I actually thought it was normal to bleed during a PAP test up until I was, I think, 22 when I switched from my family doctor and went to a clinic. I was actually shocked.
Yeah. I don't know. I find I often bleed. I have a delicate cervix, in case all the listeners out there needed to know that. But if you're going in for your pap, this is something I didn't learn until a nurse told me last year. You should go in the middle of your cycle, so 2 weeks from your last period and about 2 weeks till your next period. And you shouldn't have sex for 48 hours before, because I guess you're just messing with your cervix. That took me a long time to figure out.
Have you found since you've started the campaign, Bella, in particular, because this was your first time, and just with community, they're just in regards to the fact that sometimes the lesbian community doesn't always think that they need it. Have you found since you've been telling people, like, and just educating people, that regardless of what your sexual orientation is, you should be going? Has there been an increase or more conversations? Or,
well, definitely in my social circle. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know
you
a lot
your
of
partner.
I know a few gays around town, and actually yesterday, one of my good buddies, Rachel, was asking me to help her move some stuff, and I was like, oh, of course, I have a car. You have stuff to move. I'm in. But then I was like, the catch is you have to come get your bag. Test right now. She was preoccupied and, you know, convinced me that she was too exhausted and whatnot, didn't want to go get it done right then and there. But, you know, that was a conversation I wouldn't have had with her, like, you know, a year ago, let's just say. And I think it is definitely something that most lesbians don't think about. I mean, myself, I'm a monogamous in a monogamous long-term relationship with another girl. And it's not exactly something that's come up in the last little while until, you know, I got smack dab in the face with this campaign. So it's a good thing I did, because I honestly would have played the ignorance card for too long, and then I don't really want to know what it could have turned into, right?
Mm-hmm. In terms of cervical cancer, what are some of the, like, because I know you said there's no symptoms really, but, or, and then maybe I got that incorrect, but just in terms of the actual, what happens, because I know we don't want cancer just in general, but what happens if it does, besides the fact you can die, and it's one of the biggest killers for women?
That's right. It's, I think, in the developing world, it's the second leading cause of death for women under 45. We're fortunate that we live in a country where PAPs are provided free for all people, and that, you know, BC was one of the first places in the world, maybe the first place in the world, to have a cervical cancer program implemented in the early 60s. And since then, there's been a 70% reduction in cervical cancer incidence, which is amazing.
You are listening to Sexy.
But some of the symptoms, and I don't know too much about this, but the problem is cervical cancer is really slow to develop. And so you have abnormal cells long before you'd feel anything different.
Mm-hmm.
But when it advances, you know, the treatment can involve things like hysterectomy and radiation, you know, all your normal, painful, upsetting, prolonged cancer treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully everyone can avoid that by getting a regular PAP before
it's too late. Yeah.
Yeah. I should say that, I mean, PAPs can't catch every single case of cervical cancer early enough, but they can catch the vast majority, and it's never a bad thing to go in and get a screening.
It's definitely better to be safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a really quick short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about trans men and about cervical. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
CanZine West presents the Zine Fair and Festival of Alternative Culture. CanZine is an opportunity for creators and admirers of indie culture to meet, swap stories, and share their wares. This event will take place on November 13th at the Ukrainian Hall in Strathcona. All Vancouverites are invited to participate in this cultural exchange. For more information about the Zine Fair and Festival of Alternative Culture, contact CanZineWest at BrokenPencil.com. This event is sponsored by CITR.
Welcome to Deadfest, the West's best festival for your edgiest alternative cinema. Deadfest goes down Thursday, October 20th at the Rio Theater. Kung Fu treachery, splattastic horror, insane action, and cult classics from around the world. Deadfest has it all. Come to Deadfest at the Rio Theater on Thursday, October 20th, if you dare. For more information, visit dedfest.com. Deadfest is sponsored by CITR.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Come one, come all, young or old, to Bring Your Boomers 2, Activism for Everybody. Bring Your Boomers 2 will go down on Tuesday, November 1st from 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. at the SFU Woodwards Building. Come on out for an evening of intergenerational dialogue around activism and social change. Tickets are $12 in advance or $15 at the door. Can be found at bringyourboomers2.eventbrite.com.
You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you've been listening to us, we've been chatting with the lovely ladies from the Lace Campaign. And I've also got somebody wonderful calling in from Victoria, which I'm very excited about having. This is Ariel, and we're going to be talking about trans men and in regards to cervical cancer. Ariel, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I wanted to just touch in regards to just about the medical system and just how do they treat trans men? Because I know, that, and let's take it from the top in regards to what is a trans man?
Well, basically, the term trans covers a large, covers many different identities that are basically gender, like not of a normal or of a regular, quote-unquote, a gender identity. So, you know, usually you think, you know, you have a female with a vagina, identifies as a woman, male with a penis, identifies as a man, but trans as a word basically covers everyone who doesn't fit into those two categories and who may not feel comfortable and often don't feel comfortable and don't identify as, for example, myself as a trans man. I identify as a man, but I have a vagina, and I'm female assigned.
And how is that sometimes? Because we were chatting about just at the break, just in regards to sometimes even the textbooks, a lot of the literature in regards to sexuality about cervical cancer tends to be more focused in and not really in just in terms of gender, where things like lady bits, etc., how sometimes doctors describe things.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, you know, with it, as they were saying before, how queer women, like lesbians, you know, there's often an assumption too by doctors and healthcare professionals, an assumption that people are heterosexual. In you know, the healthcare system, there's also that same assumption that people, you know, with females identify are women and men are male. And the thing is that it is very assumptive, mm-hmm. and, you know, you're going into the system with people who are kind of an authority on these things, who are already assuming things about you that you don't feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And the thing with, like, medicine is that science and biology wants to come across as very factual, as, you know, not biased, not, you know, affected by culture, but it is very biased. It has changed throughout the years, and it is very much affected by culture.
Definitely. What would you like to see in regards to the medical system, like in terms of when you, and just paint me a picture, like walking in to get a pap test?
Well, the first thing, you know, would be that, you know, doctors or nurses don't make assumptions about my gender or my sexuality, mm-hmm. And basically to be sensitive to people, especially, you know, like someone, I don't look very male, And so right off the bat, a lot of people will, you know, assume that I'm a girl and, you know, treat me like one. And that's just, like, a very uncomfortable situation for me. Also, like, it's not just an uncomfortable situation for me when I'm there, but it just, it makes me not want to be there, you know? Mm. And that's how it is for a lot of trans people, that the environment of, especially, I mean, not just people who are treating you the way that you don't want to be treating and making assumptions about you, but then, you know, you have to open your legs, and it's all very private, so, yeah. Et cetera.
What can be done in regards to just creating safety in that experience, especially during PAP Awareness Week, where it's so important to get tested for cervical cancer and just getting that PAP test just to make sure everything's okay, regards to HPV, all that stuff?
Yeah, totally. Well, I think, you know, it's all about education and just getting the word out there and, you know, talking to people and, you know, having people who are professionals in the field that they work in, especially one like the healthcare system where, you know, trans people are so involved in the healthcare system because we're diagnosed by it and then we're treated by it and et cetera, you know, to inform themselves and educate themselves. But, you know, for basically education and talking and discussion is the number one thing that's really going to make a difference here and make PAP tests more welcoming to trans guys.
No, I think that's very valid. In regards to education, definitely healthcare, in terms of general public, would that be helpful as well in terms of education?
Yeah, definitely. Totally. I mean, education on all aspects of society is always very helpful because you can go education from the top down or bottom up, you know, just get people talking, get it to be more of a mainstream idea that, hey, there are people out there that have vaginas who do need PAP tests and that is very important and do not identify as women and to be sensitive of that.
Last year, there was the White Orchid Project, and I'm just giving this as a parallel example, which was at SFU, where it was trying to encourage women from the South Asian community to have PAP tests, because sometimes, depending on religion, in particular, Muslim, sometimes the women don't have PAP tests. So they did a huge campaign last year, educated in terms of the languages, as well as also had a phone line so people could call in and ask questions. If you could paint a picture in a year from now, actually create a project with the trans community to encourage people to get PAP testing, what would that look like?
Well, actually, there's already a campaign for PAP tests for trans guys.
Okay, what does that look like?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the name of the campaign is, but they're IC posters. You know, in Victoria, we have Island Sexual Health, and they're great. I mean, they deal with all the sexual checkups you need, and they're very queer-friendly, and there are these posters that basically have pictures of trans guys that go, trans guys need PAP tests too, and it's just
fantastic.
Like a little postering campaign, and you can go to a website. I'm sure if you Google it, PAP tests or trans guys need PAP tests too, it'll come up and just give you a little blurb, and yeah, I think they're doing a great job. Buck Angel also does a public service announcement. Buck Angel, for those of you who don't know, he's the world's most famous transsexual male porn star.
Cool, okay.
Yeah, so he is like a big kind of, you know, he's a very big name for trans men. And he's a porn star, and he's very, very masculine, and he has a vagina, and he does PSAs about trans men and PAP tests. So it's definitely coming along. I mean, it's you know, something that's kind of, people are getting the ball rolling on it, and you know, it's just going to take a little bit more time and people getting interested in what is a trans person and educating themselves.
No, I think that's really important. And Michelle was actually saying the clinic that you're mentioning with that campaign is actually one of the ones that is involved with the LACE campaign.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Advanced Sexual Health is a participating clinic, and they're so awesome. And they're on Twitter. Yeah. Everyone should follow them.
At iSexual Health.
I'm just jumping in because I did Google it, Ariel, while you were talking. And the campaign, I think, is called Check It Out, Guys. Checkitoutguys.ca.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I think they're based in Ontario, but you can order campaign postcards, posters, and temporary tattoos online, and you can send PAP e-card reminders to friends, mm-hmm. and this website design is beautiful, so everyone should be looking it up on their iPhone right now.
Yeah, it's great, and it's all, like, very butchy, masculine, and with, like, tattoos, and it's like, get your vagina checked out. It's pretty funny and pretty great.
Yeah, it's rad. And they do have on there that Buck Angel has released a public cervix announcement, which is good wordplay, and I'm jealous that he got it first.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Ariel, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And
and are you getting your tests this week?
No, I haven't gotten my test yet, but I'm pretty sure I'm not due for one yet because I got one in the past year, so I'm all good.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's also, I wanted to say that it's Michelle and I forget the other
and
person's
Bella.
Name. Pardon?
And Michelle and Bella.
Oh, Michelle and Bella, you two are doing a great job with this LACE campaign. Looks great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ariel.
Thanks. Bye.
We're going to take a really quick short break. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. When we come back, we're going to be chatting a little bit more about how it can be just sexy, about being positive and feeling good about your sexual health. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
The White Rocks Social Justice Film Society presents Seeds of Change on Friday, October 28th. This film is an examination of both risks and benefits of genetically modified crops from a Canadian perspective. Leading the discussion after the film is Gary Jones, chair of the Greenhouse Program at Kwantlen. Admission is by donation for Seeds of Change, screening at 7 p.m. at the First United Church, Friday, October 28th.
In 2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
For all you lovers of independent music, you sure don't want to miss Next Music from Tokyo. This Japanese indie music festival will be taking over the Biltmore Cabaret on Tuesday, October 18th, with doors at 7 and the show at 8. Featuring 4 live Japanese indie acts with special guests the SSRIs and free food, courtesy of Zip and Sushi. What more could you ask? Advance tickets available at ticketweb.ca, Red Cat and Zulu Records. Don't miss Next Music from Tokyo, Tuesday, October 18th at the Biltmore Cabaret, proudly sponsored by CITR.
Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
You are listening to
Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And you gotta love that sweet narcissistic moi as I'm lip syncing to my own voice as I'm playing the intro to the show. If you're just joining us now, we're chatting to the ladies from the LACE campaign, and we had Ariel, who is an amazing trans man, calling in from Victoria just in regards to PAP testing and why it's important and how we can make everybody comfortable about getting it. So one of the things we wanted to touch on is How do you have that conversation with your partner? Because it can be challenging sometimes. And I love the fact that, Bella, you made that a date night. So, like, that's pretty impressive. Because that can be a really uncomfortable conversation to have as well, where it's like, okay, we should get tested. Because I always think of that more as at honeymoon stage of the relationship, like you meet your partner or potential partner where you'd like them to be your partner. You're getting involved and it's like, okay, we should probably get tested just to make sure that we're okay. And you get tested for everything. And then from there, once you're in a long-term monogamous relationship, it doesn't really come up. So just having that conversation, how was it easier because you're involved with the campaign, do you think? Or
I think it's easy just because me and Becca are super close. I mean, we did get together when we were super young. So I guess doing all the due diligence to, you know, get tested and stuff didn't really occur when we were long distance and in the honeymoon stage. Mm. And of course, all we wanted to do was just hang out with each other and not really think about like genital warts or anything. So I don't know. Lesbians, they get really close sometimes really quickly. And I don't think that having that conversation with Becca was difficult at all. It was just, you know, another way to spend a Wednesday night, you know, away from the couch, away from the cats at home. Yeah, it was an excuse to get out of the house, I guess. I mean, seriously, Pomegranate Community Midwives, they were super great. They had chick flicks playing. They had chocolate and strawberries and juice. And at one point, they kind of turned off the movie because no one was really paying attention. And they just started putting on music videos and were dancing and stuff. And so it was like a really chill atmosphere. And I mean, I joke about it not being the most romantic date night, but it could, like, I mean, it's not the worst date I've ever been on.
And definitely having, as you're describing everything that's going on there, there's that big part of me that's like, where was I? And we're in the downtown east side actually providing the pap testing for some of the women down there who sometimes are dealing with other things like homelessness, poverty. So it's the opposite end of the spectrum. But it was a pretty fun night as well. So we had 11 of the women go through and get tested, which was exciting. Any other thoughts in regards to talking to partners about just in terms of sexual health and really encouraging pap tests?
I think the thing that sets pap tests apart from other kinds of STI tests is, you know, if you're in, say, a monogamous partnership and you do get an STI test with your partner at the beginning of the relationship, you know, a pap test is different because you need to keep getting those. You can, you know, cervical cancer takes a long time to develop, so it's important to keep going back and getting checked because a clear test, you know, doesn't mean that all your tests in the future will be clear. And, you know, through doing events with Lace Campaign, we've talked to a lot of women who are really health conscious. You know, we see them at events like the Weekend 10 Women's Cancers, and they're overdue for their pap because it's something that you sort of put off. You know, it doesn't feel urgent. And if you feel like, you know, nothing's wrong or you don't want to go to the doctor, or you're busy, or, you know, especially when women have like families or, you know, it's hard to make that time for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really important part of self-care and like caring about someone that you encourage them to take that time because, you know, it's not the worst date you'll ever have. And it's, you know, it doesn't take very long. You drop in, you make some time. And I think we've seen from some of the participating clinics that there's a lot of ways that people can make it more comfortable. I think your idea about going on your birthday is a really good one because you should just sort of make it a present to yourself that you're taking care of your health and you're taking those steps to ensure that you're going to be around for a long time.
Definitely. And I mean, I'm selfish. I don't want to be alone ever. So if Becca cancers out on me, that would be no good. So I definitely wanted to take her with me so that we can grow old together and not have to worry about any of that dark, gloomy stuff.
Yeah. If you love someone, you should want them to take care of their cervix.
Any advice in regards to talking about this with a parent or a grandparent, or because I know Michelle, you'd talk to your mother, except she'd already had hers this year, so she wasn't due.
But yeah, she's good about going.
Yeah, but just in general, because sometimes that's not quite a you know, mother child conversation always. So cause some parents aren't always comfortable talking about sex.
Yeah, and I think that we take for granted, Belle and I are in our early 20s, and I think we take for granted that we came of age in an era where we do have access to so much great sexual health information through the internet, through the fact that I think we're living in increasingly progressive times around sex. But I think for some people, you know, who were raised in environments where they didn't talk about sex a lot, or maybe they weren't ever educated about what HPV is or what pap tests are. It can just be an awkward thing to bring up. And so it's so great if you can talk to, you know, if you have this knowledge, if you've learned about pap tests through the LACE campaign, or if you're just one of those really amazing, super aware and educated people, you know, you should have those conversations. We've had some great student nurses at Langara who are actually guys who've come on board with the LACE campaign, and I love seeing men advocating for cervical health. It's really great because, you know, everybody has someone with a cervix in their life that they love, and it's, you know, it's great to see everyone getting on board and having those conversations. And if your parent's uncomfortable discussing it with you, you know, help them find a provider who they'll be comfortable discussing it with, because you can't be silent about this. Like, no matter how awkward it is for you, you just have to get out there and take care of it.
Especially since it's a silent disease as well, like where there's not symptoms at the beginning and then not till later on. So it's, if the disease is going to be silent, you almost need to speak up for it so that it doesn't get a voice.
Yeah,
it gets silenced early on.
And just speaking from experience, I mean, my mom is, you know, she just immigrated to Canada, but she is an immigrant. And, you know, you don't really think that your immigrant parents are going to want to talk about the woohoo at any point in time. And so I didn't really actually grow up with much sexual education. But, I mean, your parents will surprise you. I mean, I managed to grow up just fine, and I'm now taking great care of my sexual health and stuff. But bringing it up with my mom wasn't even that weird. Well, I guess having it being work-related is kind of brownie points, too, because she's proud of me, like, doing work for, you know, preventing cancer and stuff. So, I don't know, having that conversation with her when you wouldn't expect it to go over smoothly, it went a lot smoother than anticipated. So it's just bring it up. It's not, like, a big, ugly monster in the closet or anything. It's a very easy conversation to have.
And if you don't want to talk about sex with your mom, you can just say it's cervical cancer because, you know, not everybody knows that cervical cancer is caused by HPV or that HPV is a sexually transmitted infection. One that's really common, I think they think that by age 50, 80% of women will have had it at some point. And most of those cases just clear up and you never know you have them and they don't cause any complications. But sometimes it does lead to cervical cancer. But it's just a cancer screening, you know. You wouldn't put off taking care of a melanoma, or, you know, if you felt a lump in your breast, you would go to the doctor. So don't wait until something feels wrong. You know, you should always go before something feels wrong. It's prevention. It's harder to remember, but if somebody's nudging you towards the doctor, it's more of a motivation to go. So be that person who's nudging someone else.
I'm really glad that there is the campaign, LACE campaign, because it makes me wonder, especially now that if you're having healthy tests where they're coming out good, and now you can only have to come once every 2 years. My concern with that is, I guess because I've always thought of it as once a year, it's my birthday, I got to go do it, you know, or it's pap awareness. So same thing where you always make sure you give yourself that gift of health. If it's every 2 years, is it going to be more difficult to get people to actually commit?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because on the LACE campaign website, we do have a pap reminder tool, which is great. You can sign up with your email address. You say your age and when you last had your pap test, or if you've never had a pap test, or if you don't remember, it's fine. It'll think for you. And it sends you a little email reminder to let you know. And we are living in a smartphone age, so if you have a Google Calendar or an iCal, by all means, program ahead when your next pap test is. I have great providers who do remember to call me and say your pap is coming up. When I was at UVic, you know, the health services there would call and remind me when I had a pap test coming. So, you know, hopefully you should have a provider who does this for you. But I do realize that we live in a time where it's hard for people to find healthcare providers. And the great thing about a pap test is even if you don't have a family doctor, you can go into a walk-in clinic and get one done. But if you can, you should set up a way to remind yourself. And email addresses last forever. So, you know, set up a pap reminder and it will let you know when you should go in and get a test done. But I do think people should still go to the doctor at least once a year just to check in.
Agreed. Definitely agreed. So I know you have lots of events this week. So you touched on a couple of them earlier in the show. So tell me a little bit more about them and let our listeners know in case they want to come by, find out more information, want to volunteer, get involved in the campaign.
Absolutely. You can sign up to volunteer through the LACE campaign website. We try and make everything as intuitive as possible, but if you can't find a link to sign up, you can email outreach@lacecampaign.com, and I check and respond to all those emails maybe a little too frequently. And if you want to get involved, we love supporters, so please sign up. Please talk to us. We love having conversations at events, over email, on Facebook, so we're always accessible. Bella and I have smartphones glued to our hands. But we do have some events tomorrow. If you're sort of in the western half of Vancouver, you should come by UBC to the Sexual Health Fair that's taking place at the Marine Drive Residence from 6:30 to 9:30. We'll be there with lots of info, and there's also going to be desserts and a photo booth and games and other great providers and campaigns giving you information. So what? I can't think of a better way to learn about your sexual health than with a banana split in one hand.
Banana split and games and pap test stuff.
And I can only imagine an abundance of free condoms and other games.
There's also another event coming up at BCIT. I don't have all the details. I think it's a speed dating thing.
Yes, at Professor Mugg's Pub, which I don't know, but it's on campus. And it's a speed dating event for men and women to learn about cancer prevention, put on by two amazing student nurses at BCIT, Lauren and Kayla, who are great volunteers. And they're going to be doing a fun event, a speed dating event, with prevention information given out. And they've been amazing. You can find out more details about that on our Facebook page because they shared their lovely poster with us. And if you go to BCIT, hopefully you've seen it live posted up all over campus.
What can people do at their schools in terms of getting more involved? They can volunteer, of course, and I know it's coming towards the end. In terms of Hello Cool World, is there other campaigns coming up that you may be looking for volunteers for?
Well, the I Have Immunity campaign is a campaign we work on with Immunize BC, and that's to promote routine vaccinations, including the HPV vaccine. And we're looking for people who are supporters of vaccination, who maybe have stories about vaccine-preventable disease that they'd like to share with us. We're always looking for them to get involved. That's a great campaign. You can absolutely be involved with Lace Campaign all year round. Another great campaign for women over 25 who are dating is Dating Confidential, datingconfidential.ca. I think Cindy has been a guest on this lovely show.
She has been a guest on the show, so I'm really glad you mentioned it as well, because her website was down actually when she was on the show, and we were trying to get people to do her survey because she's doing, I believe it's her master's actually.
Her PhD actually.
That's right. Yeah.
So Cindy is an STI nurse with the BC Center for Disease Control. And she's doing her PhD thesis on women and dating. And, you know, it's great because I think a lot of research is really out of date. And Cindy is talking about the way we date now, which I think has been totally revolutionized by online dating, by texting. You know, you can meet someone online and have 50 conversations with them before you ever have coffee the next day. And she's talking about that. And also the fact that I think a lot of sexual health research has focused on women who are younger, you know. Mm-hmm. Most of the education seems to be geared to teens and people who are university aged. And the reality is people don't get married at 22 and stay with one person anymore, you know. They date long into their life. And so Cindy's research is really great in addressing the experiences that women have after 25. And so if you go to datingconfidential.ca, you can take her survey. It's for science. And you can also, just by taking it, be entered to win an iPad 2, which is pretty amazing.
And she's going to UBC, which is really cool too.
Yes, she is a UBC PhD student. So you should be supporting UBC, supporting science, supporting women's health, contributing to the pool of knowledge that will create better services and better insights around women's healthcare needs, especially their sexual health.
And also, it's a really neat topic as well, just the fact that you do feel really close to people that you meet online, even though you've never met them in face-to-face.
Yeah, and I think now there's something that said like 1 in 5 people have met their partner online. Like, it's becoming like a really dominant way that people, you know, form romantic and sexual relationships, which, I mean, 10 years ago, I don't think any of this existed. So it's crazy to see how fast it's changed how we interact.
It really has changed a lot. And it's interesting, too, even the rules with dating online, where before it'd be just basically try and meet somebody in person in a public place as quickly as possible because you didn't want to develop that relationship online first and foremost. Now, it's really hard not to because, of course, you've got Twitter. Facebook, depending how your privacy settings are, you can vary it up and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Which on that note, I wanted to add one more thing for people who want to support Lace Campaign. They can actually share their Facebook status perhaps right now. So not only like you on Facebook, like you and follow you on Twitter, but as well perhaps just encourage people and just let people know it's PAP Awareness Week. Please encourage people to get tested who need to be tested.
That's right. And if you can, direct people to the Lace Campaign site. We have an amazing clinic finder tool, which does allow you to search for the nearest clinic. You just enter your city or postal code, and it will let you know what your closest clinic is, what their hours are. We let you know if there's a female healthcare provider. The clinics have listed whether or not they offer services in languages other than English. So it's a great tool. So no matter where you are in BC, you should check out the clinic finder and find where your closest clinic is. And, you know, just let the women in your life know all around the province.
Yeah, and wherever you are all over the world, feel free to, you know, use the hashtag PAP11, PAP11. That will lock you into all the conversations being had about PAP Awareness Week this year. So it doesn't matter where you are, just, you know, keep pushing the healthy cervix message and use that hashtag PAP11.
That's right. We're a BC campaign, but we want cervixes all over the world to be happy and healthy. And we have lots of materials and lots of information on the website. So, you know, even if you're not in BC, check it out and hopefully learn something. And, you know, you can always tweet at us, Facebook us, email us, and we're happy to answer your questions and try and be helpful.
I have one last question before we wrap the show. If you could wave a magic wand in 20 years from now because of the work you're doing now, what would you like to see girls that 20 years from now, they're like 21 years old and they're getting their PAPs? What would you like to see?
Well, I hope for the girls who are still in school that they're getting their HPV vaccine. You know, it can prevent the strains that cause 70% of cervical cancers, which means that 70% fewer women having, you know, these tests for precancerous cells, which are really effective but still, you know, quite emotionally distressing and can be painful and are really upsetting. And so if we can prevent that, that would be amazing. I'd like to see everyone being educated and having access to materials that are appropriate and available in every language. And, you know, the information does change. The screening intervals changed recently. So it's really important that people check in with what's new and what the new developments are and just keep renewing that information. Mm-hmm. What about you, Bella?
I think that those conversations just need to keep continuing.
I want to live in a world where everybody feels empowered to talk about their sexual health care. And actually, this is really a magic wand, but I would like to see everybody have access to a healthcare provider who, you know, they're comfortable with and who they can talk to, who they can talk to about all these needs. You know, I feel like it's a long way off that we'll have enough family physicians for everybody, but I hear there's lots of people graduating from med school, so maybe we will. That would be amazing. Just nothing but sex positive, inclusive, welcoming providers.
I think that's a really cool want, and I back you on that 100%. I think it's important. Yeah. Well, thank you both for being on the show. And Ariel, I know you're off air now, but if you're listening, thank you for calling in as well. And everyone out there, please check out Lace Campaign. Please follow them on Twitter, check out their website, and like them on Facebook. But most importantly, please encourage everyone in your life who needs to get a PAP test to please get it if they aren't able to get them with one of the really awesome events. And check out one of the 120 clinics that... 140 clinics that are participating this year. Please go the week after if you want to do that. Just make sure you get it done and you're taking care of your sexual health and just your cervix health. Very, very important.
And after you get a PAP, make sure you tell us how it went. We like hearing from women who are getting their PAPs. It's been awesome to hear from all the people who are getting one for the first time.
And even if it's your 20th time, make sure that you share those stories as well, because it's important. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. And I can hear him basically sliding CDs in and out and in and out. And I haven't even checked his shoes yet to see if I'm going to be having a shoegasm. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Bye-bye.